the cargo areas, racks, and massive turntables the Nemoidians had created to deploy their tanks and battle droid transports were redesigned to carry and reposition our Banthas, Aklays, and Gundarks, and of course, Snowmass. The Millennium Falcon was already a part of Mulpo's fleet when I joined. It struck me as odd that such a powerful ship should be the property of a circus. Early owners had equipped the freighter with a military-grade hyperdrive and a dorsal turbo laser turret. But the more time I spent at the controls of the Falcon, the more I came to appreciate what a perfect fit she was for Mulpole, being as agile as her acrobats and as motley as our sideshow performers. She was also long past her glory days as a ship of any sort, battle-scarred, held together with spit and wire, in sore need of bodywork, and about as capricious a vessel as I'd ever piloted. In time, I grew very fond of the Falcon, but for me, Mulpole's chief attraction was a young aerialist who was known by the stage name Sari Dancer. Oh, she was beautiful and graceful, and she could perform repulsive stunts that would amaze and astound even the most jaded members of the audience. Unlike me, the circus was in her blood, and the performances she gave had been honed over several generations by family members who guarded their secrets as closely as the Jedi once guarded theirs. Through the clever use of lasers and other aids, Sari could make herself appear to vanish, shrink, grow larger than a bantha, or streak through the sky like a meteor. Even when she wasn't performing, she moved in a way that seemed almost weightless. She was Mulpole's star. And unfortunately, she knew that. Her demands knew no bounds, and she insisted on bringing meticulous attention to everything she did. Never an eyelash out of place, never a piece of clothing that didn't fit perfectly, never a misstep. If she executed one of her routines less than perfectly, she would be angry for days. And if you were a member of the crew, you definitely didn't want to be the one responsible for spoiling the lighting or the music. Sari wouldn't scream at you, but her cold silence could be deafening. None of that, however, stopped me from falling in love with her. I was a mere pilot, and she had little time for me, but I managed to bridge that gap. Since everyone involved with Mulpole did double duty of some sort, I decided to join the clown squad, if for no other reason than to be able to exchange a few words with Sari between acts. 15 other clowns and I would have just emerged from a landing speeder meant for four, or I would have just worn myself out doing pratfalls. And there she'd be, waiting in the wings to go on. And I'd wish her luck or compliment her on her choice of costume. I don't think she was physically attracted to me in the slightest, but she loved that I could make the audience laugh and leave everyone in the best possible mood to appreciate her performance. Normally, the performers traveled together from world to world in the old passenger vessel, aboard which privacy was difficult to come by. Gossip was rampant and arguments were a constant. The Falcon was reserved for transporting the owner and the ringmaster, their occasional guests, and whatever cash proceeds emerged from the performances. Still, Sari would frequently ask me how I could stand to travel in that junk heap of a ship. At such moments, I would try to sing the Falcon's praises, but my best efforts fell on deaf ears. Finally, however, I summoned the nerve to ask if she would consider trading her somewhat cramped quarters aboard the passenger ship for the relative luxury of a private cabin aboard the Falcon. The schedule called for us to perform on two backrocket planets in the Anote sector, for both of which Dax Dugan and Ringmaster would be traveling on the ship owned by the governor of the star system. Even I couldn't have dreamed up a more perfect situation. No hyperspace travel as a means of conserving fuel and lowering expenses. Simply 3 long days and nights of real space transit from the third planet in the system to the seventh. I was careful to make the invitation sound casual, but I was certain she knew what I was up to, and that I knew she knew. Her response was that her decision would depend on the outcome of a thorough inspection tour of the ship she would undertake without prior warning. She made it sound like a joke, but I grasped that she was deadly serious. I spent days cleaning and detailing the ship inside and out. I vacuumed the holds and the ring corridor, polished the cockpit instrument panel, and had the co-pilot's chair reupholstered. I was so obsessed with making the ship as spotless as possible, I wouldn't even entrust Mulpole's labor droids with the task, The Falcon had two cabins, but I focused on the larger of the pair, the one normally reserved for Dax Dugan. Laundering the linens, installing new illuminators, scrubbing the fresher, and recalibrating the sonic shower. I covered the tables that flanked the largest bunk with candles, and I created the selection of music that could be pumped through the ship's intercom. I stocked the galley with food and wines, and asked Molpo's cook to prepare a special meal I could reheat and serve. Performers and crew alike were entertained by the lengths which I was willing to go to win Sari over, and most were more than happy to enroll in the conspiracy. I even managed to persuade Dax Dugan to finance the installation of the Dejarik holotable in the Falcon's main hold. I knew that Dugan was a fan of the game, but more important, I knew that Sari was, and I devoted every spare moment to brushing up on moves and the rules of play. I knew, too, she had a strong distaste for violence, so I made certain that the access way to the turbolaser battery was sealed.